Welcome to the Gay Buddhist Forum, where teachers from all schools of Buddhism offer their perspectives on the Dharma and its application in modern times, especially for LGBTQI audiences. These talks are offered freely to the world and made possible by appreciative listeners. If you would like to support our efforts to share the Dharma with underserved audiences, please visit gaybuddhist.org. There you can donate, find a list of upcoming speakers, or enjoy many hundreds of these recorded talks dating back to 1996.
Today we have the pleasure of hearing from one of our own, Tom Bing, who's been active at GBF since 2005, and we'll talk about the practice of Tom Lam today, or giving and taking meditation. Taking or sending. Is this in developing bodhicitta, or compassion for the benefit of all beings? It centers on using one's own challenges, struggles, and pain to help empathize and understand with others and move towards awakening.
Can we do introductions?
Just do introductions, yes. We know who you are.
Regardless, my name's Ryan.
I'm Sam.
My name's Michael.
I'm Harry.
I'm Kenny.
My name is Harley.
William.
Lee.
My name's Patrick.
My name is Roy.
I'm Jen.
I'm Dave.
I'm David.
My name is Jerry.
I'm George.
I'm Ed.
My name is Alzac.
My name is Jerry.
I'm Shantan.
I'm Ray.
Dennis.
My name is Dave.
My name is Paul.
My name is Cass.
I'm Jack.
My name is Dal.
David.
I'm Charles.
My name is Tage.
I'm Jerry.
My name is Oswaldo.
I'm Henry.
Peter.
I'm Joe.
Hello.
My name is Nicolette.
Jay.
Richard.
Len.
Thank you. Welcome, Tom.
Thank you very much. Good morning, everyone. I just want to say how wonderful it is to be here and speak when I consider all of the wisdom that's been shared in this room over the decades that GBF has been here. And so I consider it a great privilege, but I also know that that wisdom now resides in all of you as masters of your own dharma, of your own practice, on your own path, because after all, that's what we're here for, right? And it is, as they say, an inside job. Nobody can awaken for you. And so I just want to bow to all of you for being here today and working on your own practice. So Tonglen. Tonglen is, it's T-O-N-G-L-E-N. And it is the practice of taking in and sending out. It is part of the tantric practice that comes down from Tibet and is part of the Lojong practice of Tantra. Tantra has been, you know, has had a lot of mystery around it and everything because for many years, many eons, centuries, it was thought to be, it was reserved for advanced practice because it was thought to be beyond the capabilities of average people. And there is a prerequisite for the Tantra practice, and that is mindfulness meditation. But because that has become so prevalent here in the West, available to all of us, if we'll just seek it out, perhaps it's not beyond our capabilities. So this is something I've been interested in exploring that I'd like to share with you. So Lojong consists of mind training and a meditation practice. The mind training consists of 59 slogans, and the meditation practice is Tonglen. So if you're interested in the mind training, Pema Chodron has a wonderful book, Start Where You Are, where she also touches on Tonglen. But she goes over the 59 slogans and sort of vets them out and brings a really wonderful perspective to all of it. And I will say that if you're interested in Tonglen, Becoming the Compassion Buddha by Lama Yeshe, who founded the Vajrapani Center, where we have our annual fall retreat, terrific book. And it was edited by Robina Cortine, who many of us know. And she does a fantastic job at the beginning of this book laying out where this falls into the big, you know, confusing world of Buddhist teachings. So Lojong covers both the mind and the heart. And Tonglen is about the heart. It's about opening with compassion for our own suffering and for the suffering of others. And as soon as we mention compassion, developing compassion for others, it's helpful to orient ourselves in that confusing Buddhist world. So there are, as they say, one, you know, the two wings of Buddhism, which is compassion and wisdom. So on the wisdom side are all the teachings that we know of, the Eightfold Path and, you know, all of the lists. And that's focused on and emphasized in the Theravada tradition. And the compassion side is somewhat more focused on and emphasized in the Mahayana tradition. So that'll give you an orientation of where this comes from, more on the Mahayana tradition. So what exactly is Tonglen? Tonglen is a way of using difficulty on the path of enlightenment. So instead of looking at our difficulties and saying, oh, this is what prevents me from waking up, this is what interrupts my practice, this is what is ruining my meditation, if it weren't for these things, you know, I'd almost be there. So it shows us how to use difficulty to help us awaken. And when I say awaken, to me that means to overcome the illusion of a separate, inherently existing self, to move beyond duality and into unity, and to develop genuine compassion equally for the suffering of ourselves as for the suffering of others. So how is it done? What I'd like to do is give you a brief overview of Tonglen, and then we'll do two 15-minute exercises, and then we'll wrap up, and probably that'll be it. So I want to make it more experiential than just giving you theoretical talk about it. So Tonglen meditation has four components. One is flashing on openness, or centering our mind on openness, or bodhicitta. And bodhicitta is the desire to awaken and alleviate all suffering, not just our own suffering, but the suffering of others. Two, the second part is connecting with the textures of suffering as we meditate. Dark, heavy, and hot for suffering, and its antidote, which are white, light, and cool. It's a visualization practice. The third part is focusing this on a specific object of suffering, a particular person or animal, something that we can really sense or see or know deeply about. And then fourth, we expand this focus to all beings who suffer in a similar fashion. So that's it. It's those four. And I'll go into more detail on those, and I'll just say this. In some aspects, Tonglen is a deity practice where we are imagining ourselves, we are visualizing ourselves as the Buddha of compassion. Avalokiteshvara, Guanyin, Chenrasig in the Tibetan tradition, or in Sanskrit, Lokshvara or Padmapani. So we're tapping into our expansive, unlimited Buddha nature. And that resides in all of us. So the visualization practice helps us tap into that. So let me give you a little more detail on the four steps in it, and then we'll step into a meditation practice. So the first is centering our mind on openness or bodhicitta. Pema Chodron calls this flashing on openness. And it's very simple and quick. It doesn't need to be very elaborate. You can recall a memory of witnessing suffering in your past that maybe spontaneously opened your heart, made you feel compassion towards another being. You can maybe perhaps images of how you felt when you saw the tsunami that was all over the news several years back, or an earthquake. Maybe you'll want to recall some of the appeals you've seen on TV for starving children, right? Things like that that really tug at your heartstrings. Those are very effective for helping you open up to that. Or you could have a memory from childhood. Chogyam Trungpa says that whenever he wants to tap into this heart of bodhicitta, he remembers when he was a child seeing a puppy being stoned by an angry crowd. This poor, helpless, defenseless puppy. So that instantly brings him into his heart of compassion. So it's simple. It need not be horrific. You know, don't go towards the most dramatic thing you've ever seen. But just think of one thing that can help you tap into that. Second is feeling the textures of suffering and its antidote. So this follows the breathing once you get into it. So the suffering we draw in dark, dense, hot, and heavy on the in-breath. And then the antidote we send out white, light, cool, fresh on the out-breath. And it follows the breath, but it's not about the lungs. This is not about, you know, breathing in dark smoke or giving yourself, you know, emphysema or something like that. It is... you want to visualize it as coming in through all the pores of your body and then going back out in 360 degrees through all pores of your body. So as we take in, we're taking in the cause of suffering that we see all around us in the world. The causes of suffering, which are fixation, holding on, clinging, ego, selfishness. And then sending out the antidote, sending out compassion and the wish for this being that we're visualizing to experience enlightenment. And so you want to visualize perhaps radiating joy. And it's important also to understand that you're not transforming the suffering into compassion. Here what is happening is you're not converting it from one to the other. But if you're really tapping into the heart of bodhicitta, this is an expansive, unlimited heart. So you can literally draw in all of the suffering that's before you. It can take in and hold all of that, just like Avalokiteshvara. And so this isn't the limited you acting, it's your Buddha nature. And that's the nature of Avalokiteshvara. 11 heads to see in all directions all the suffering of the world. 1,000 arms to be able to reach out and deliver help and assistance. So the third part is focusing this on a specific object of suffering. A particular person or animal. This keeps it personal. It should be tangible and specific. Real suffering, not theoretical. And fourth is extending this focus then to all beings. So all who suffer in a similar fashion to whatever you're focusing on. So the specific is a stepping stone to the universal. What you feel for one, you can extend to all. And I would say step three is vital to keep it from being too theoretical. And step four keeps it from being too narrow or too selfish. So four adds vision. It connects with the original intent of the Buddha to share the antidote to suffering. So when he awakened under the tree, initially he, you know, was reluctant to go out and teach, but in fact he did. And so this is the heart of bodhicitta. So let's begin with the first meditation. I would love to open it up for questions and say, is there any question about how this goes forward before we get into the first meditation? It'll be sort of self-explanatory. Is anybody confused so far? Excellent. Okay. So dumbfounded you don't know what to ask. So I'd like you to get comfortable. This first meditation is having compassion for yourself. And I will say that these meditations draw heavily from those by Joan Halifax Roshi on the website of the Living Dying Project at livingdying.org. So there's no perfect way to do sitting practice. So wherever you find yourself, just relax. Relax the forehead and the face. Relax your neck. Relax the shoulders. Relax the stomach. Relax your heart. Relax your mind. Bring in as much gentleness as you can. Begin by flashing on openness. Connect with your natural inclination toward compassion. Think of something that makes you feel compassionate. The condition of one who is helpless, blameless, defenseless. Whatever it is for you. Now, when you feel settled, begin the second stage of the practice, which is connecting with the textures of suffering and its antidote. Imagine taking in heavy, hot, dense air, the suffering, and visualize sending out cool, light air, the antidote. Now, visualize a metal sheath around your heart, something protecting it, like woven metal fibers or Kevlar fabric. This metal sheath is everything about you that blocks your compassion. Your self-importance, selfishness, self-pity. It's the band of fear that hardens your heart. Maybe visualize this metal fabric is woven of vertical and horizontal strands. Vertical strands made of clinging and desire and fixation. And crossing those are horizontal strands of aversion, fear, and avoidance. Tonglen practice invites you to loosen this metal sheath and open your heart to its natural non-judgmental state of kindness and spaciousness. Visualize the metal sheath unraveling as the in-breath of suffering touches it and individual strands are whisked away. It's unraveling like an old fabric. So as you breathe in, when the sheath opens, the hot, heavy air swirls in, vanishing into the vast space of your unlimited heart. And what arises is natural mercy. It is the quality of unarmored heart that allows you to be with suffering and at the same time to see gently beneath the suffering. Now begin to connect all of this to your breath, breathing in heaviness and breathing out lightness. The heaviness is suffering, the lightness is well-being. Now imagine that you're breathing through all the pores of your body. On the in-breath, heavy, hot air enters every pore. On the out-breath, cool light radiates from every pore of your body, 360 degrees. Now we move to the object of your meditation. You could focus on some other specific being, but just for today, begin with yourself. Start by connecting with some aspect of your life that's causing you suffering. Maybe physical, financial, relationship, an annoying neighbor. Begin by breathing in whatever you're feeling. Fear, agitation, anger, loneliness, alienation, uncertainty, grief, resistance, whatever it is. Just accept it. And on the exhalation, breathe out well-being. Bring awareness to what is agitating you and breathing it in, accepting it with kindness. Then as you exhale, give yourself some spaciousness. Now visualize that sitting out in front of you is the part of yourself that is experiencing that suffering. The part of you that feels scared about the future. The part of you that just can't let go of what someone did to you. The part of you that just wants to escape what's happening in your life. Whatever form your current suffering takes. Let the ego shield around your heart dissolve to reveal your vast and spacious heart. Breathe out the sense of spaciousness, openness, kindness, and surrender that arises. Shower these qualities on yourself in a rain of cool, healing light. Don't analyze what you're doing. Don't try to figure it out. Don't justify it. Simply do the practice. Breathing in heavy, hot, dark of your suffering. Breathe out sympathetic space. Now we're ready to move beyond yourself. Consider that at this very moment, many others are experiencing the same kind of distress as you. The details of their distress are not important. The point is to connect with the first noble truth that others are suffering just as you are. Feeling your distress and their distress, breathe it in for others as well as for yourself. This doesn't increase your suffering. It opens your heart to the truth that others are suffering as you are. It's an opportunity to connect with them. Let this connectedness open your compassion toward yourself and them. As you breathe out clarity and kindness, let the breath go to all those who are suffering as you are. Now let the visualization dissolve and just continue with the practice, breathing in universal suffering as hot, heavy, and dense, and through every pore of your body, breathe out goodness and healing as a cool, light breath. In, dark, heavy, and dense. Out, cool, light, healing. So, as you might have experienced, Tonglen is about creating more spaciousness around your own experience of difficulty. You know, making room for it instead of walling it off or acting in aversion. And, you know, it's not about getting into a pity party for yourself and getting comfortable with all that's wrong, necessarily. But it's, like I mentioned, it is grounded in the First Noble Truth, the truth that suffering exists. And I would say if we cannot name our own suffering and familiarize ourselves with it and be real that it exists, how can we have compassion for others? Because otherwise it's all just theoretical. So, you know, this is what Tonglen helps us with. It's done to develop our compassion and our ability to be present with our own suffering and then extend that to the suffering of others. So it's grounded in the heart of bodhicitta. And let's see here. What bodhicitta is not is this. See the three monks sitting around all meditating together? One with his hands raised. Oh yeah, first to reach enlightenment, right here. Eat my dust, bitches. That's not bodhicitta.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Well, you get the first part of the meditation right. But then you want to be extending it out. You know, and it just happened that this morning, this very morning, I got an email from Larry Robinson, who's the poet in the spoken tradition who's been here several times with us. The Bodhisattva Vow. I want to come back as the disabled child of someone like Vladimir Putin to awaken his heart of compassion. Then I'll be reborn as maybe an extinct species, like an ivory billed woodpecker. I'll fly to Washington or wherever I want and bring the good news of our return. Or maybe I'll just be a breath of wind, touching the world with hope and healing. This is what Sue said. I say, she hears the cries of the world. Om Tara, Tu Tare, Ture, Svaha. And we can remind ourselves of what His Holiness the Dalai Lama said. If you want to be happy, if you want others to be happy, practice compassion. If you want to be happy, practice compassion. Absolutely. That's the grounding for Tonglen. And I will say this, you know, the result of this practice, it has softened my view of others. It has, it's made me less reactive and more equanimous. It's helped me It's helped me bring compassion to situations that otherwise would just, you know, really throw me off. Or just plain annoy me. So it's been very helpful in that. And I would say if you truly aspire to non-duality and to connecting with others, it's a great practice to undertake. It'll help you make those things real in your life. You know, non-duality, openness. Instead of just reading a lot of books and being theoretical about it. So, let's see. The next meditation will take about 15 minutes, so I think we should probably do that now. 12 to 15 minutes. So I would like to do this. For the second meditation, I want us to pair up, but here's an idea. If you want to do it alone, for someone extremely close to you that you've been thinking of or that's present on your mind, you can do that as well. But otherwise, I'd like us to pair up. And so raise your hand if you'd like to pair up. Find someone who's also raising their hand. And just go ahead and pair up until all the hands in the room are down. And I really encourage you to do this in a pairing format, unless there's some real driving need to work on it for someone, you know, who really needs it on their own. Any more? So just pair up. You might want to both be in a chair. You're going to face each other. Both be in a chair, both be on a cushion, whatever it takes. Does anyone want to pair up that does not? It's another guided meditation, but in this meditation we'll be focusing on another. We'll start just as we did before, but then the object of the meditation in the third phase will be a specific person, the person you're sitting with, and then we'll extend it out. So it follows the exact same pattern. So first, begin by getting comfortable, getting relaxed. And I would say if you want to lie down, if you're doing this on your own, feel free to do that as well. So first, center your mind on bodhicitta, the desire to alleviate all suffering. Close your eyes. Recall something that reminds you of your capacity for compassion. Connect with your commitment to the Eightfold Path and cessation of suffering. Second, feel the texture of suffering and its antidote. Just in general, draw in dark, heavy, dense, hot on the in-breath. And send out white, lightness, cool and clear on the out-breath. Let yourself breathe in universal suffering. And as you do, the sheath around your heart breaks open, and the dark smoke of suffering dissolves into the spaciousness of your vast heart, the heart of Avalokiteshvara. Through every pore in your body, exhale all your goodness and healing for the world. 360 degrees. 1,000 arms. Next, Slowly gaze at the chest area of this one sitting across from you, or the one that you're thinking of. For now, this is just a generic person, just one of the many beings in the world. So just gaze at their chest. If you wish, you may gently synchronize your breathing with each other. Breathing in hot, heavy smoke, letting that smoke dissolve the sheath around your heart, and breathing out a cool, light breath. If fear or discomfort or resistance comes up about practicing directly with another, just notice it. Remember your commitment to the cessation of suffering. Breathe in that fear and breathe out ease. Now, when you're ready, let your eyes rise and gaze into the throat area of this person across from you. Continue sending and receiving. Slowly become a little more aware of the specific person sitting across from you. Still taking in, still sending out. When you're ready, let your eyes rise to meet the eyes of the friend sitting across from you. Not grasping, but being present, gaze into the eyes of your friend. Let your good heart connect with this one sitting across from you. This one, like you, has suffered. This one's life, like all lives, has had its share of pain and sorrow. This one, like you, will die one day. See the lines of weariness, concern, disappointment, or sadness in this one's face. It's not necessary to give what you see a story. Just in a general way, be with the life that this one has lived. Keep it very simple. If you feel as though you're beginning to fixate, feel free to close your eyes and return to your breath practice, and then open your eyes when you are ready. Now imagine this person as a 3-year-old child. See him as he might have been when he was very young and free of any pain. Imagine that this young, fresh, and hopeful being is still alive in your friend. Now, in your imagination, bring that 3-year-old friend into the present. You would do anything to help that child be peaceful and free of distress. On your next in-breath, breathe in the suffering of this person. Breathe in dark, heavy, hot smoke that breaks apart the metal sheath of self-importance around your heart. The smoke of this friend's suffering vanishes into the vastness of your true heart. And on your out-breath, breathe out a cool, light breath of kindness. Remember that this one with whom you are practicing will die. You do not know when or how. See how his life is hanging by a breath. You hope that this person will be able to come home to his true nature. Now your heart of compassion is wide open. Put any negative aspects of your personality into the metal sheath around your heart. And on your next in-breath, the dark, heavy, hot smoke of this friend's suffering transforms all your negativity into mercy. Now imagine that this one sitting across from you will not be alive tomorrow. There's always that possibility. The knowledge of impermanence helps deepen the commitment to your practice. Breathe in suffering, breathe out kindness. When you feel ready, allow your eyes to close. Let go of this friend sitting across from you. Now open the focus of your practice to the universe. Breathe in universal suffering, dissolving your own importance, your own self-importance. On your out-breath, give away all of your goodness to all beings who suffer. So how was that? Did that help? Do you feel that that helped helped you connect with your heart of compassion?
Yes. I also feel I have a better understanding of how to really have compassion for the rest of the world. You know, when I just had elbow surgery and going through really hard physical therapy, and so when I've read Tonglen before, I never really connected with it. I thought, I don't have time to have compassion. I'm dealing with my own stuff. That's how I feel.
I mean, what is this about? Misery loves company?
It is, exactly. Yeah. But when the way you break it down, and
that I recently have been reading as we've spoken and all of the experiences we've had, I really understand it. And I thank you so much for this exercise. It was great to really do it and to start with ourselves, maybe one other person, and then really move out. I understand it now.
Great.
So thank you.
Good, good. Yeah, we should wrap up. So
yeah.
Let me, there's just a final quote I'd like to give. And then if anybody has questions or wants to look at any of the material here, you know, you're free to. So one final note on the truth of suffering and impermanence. This is by Jeff Foster. You will lose everything. Your money, your power, your fame, your success, perhaps even your memories. Your looks will go. Loved ones will die. Your body will fall apart. Everything that seems permanent is impermanent and will be smashed. Experience will gradually, or not so gradually, strip away everything that it can strip away. Waking up means facing this reality with open eyes and no longer turning away. But right now, we stand on sacred and holy ground, for that which will be lost has not yet been lost. And realizing this is the key to unspeakable joy. Whoever or whatever is in your life right now has not yet been taken away from you. This may sound trivial, obvious, like nothing, but really it is the key to everything, the why and how and wherefore of existence. Impermanence has already rendered everything and everyone around you so deeply holy and significant and worthy of your heartbreaking gratitude. Loss has already transfigured your life into an altar.
Thank you, Tom. Announcement of meditation. At GPF, we do ask for a donation of $10 as the practice of dana, or the practice of generosity, help meet our expenses. We have a monthly meal at the Larkin Street Youth Center, a newsletter, speaker honorariums, rent, etc. So please practice generosity and help a good thing keep going. Other announcements? Who's the?
I'm the host today, and there are refreshments out on the table, and there's hot water in the dispensers if you'd like to have tea. If you have tea, please wash out the cup when you're done over in the sink area. And if you're new, or if you haven't signed up and want information about the Sangha outside the door on the counter next to the newsletters, you could sign up. And at about 12:30, a group often forms outside the door to go to lunch, and everyone's welcome to join that group. And I'll be going around with the dana bowl to collect the $10 or whatever you're going to donate today.
Yes.
If anyone enjoys the New Exploratorium, I have membership there. I can bring 10 guests in one shot. If you're prompt, I'll bring 10 in. If you're late, you get to pay. So just your email address. I went Thursday night. It's quite captivating, stimulating, and young.
And expensive.
Next week, one more.
I'm the coordinator of hosts, and one of our hosts is going through a life change and is won't be able to perform those duties anymore at Cage. And so I would like to invite anybody who was thinking of, who has considered hosting,
I get to play anti-main for a couple of times. It involves a commitment of once every 2 months. And I'll be happy to speak to you afterwards, since we do need to replace our host, our department host.
Okay, next week we will have an open discussion. And there are no more announcements. We can close with the opening of merit and the having tea and cookies. I'd like to re-welcome our newcomers. Please stay afterwards and thank you for coming. By the power and truth of this practice, may all beings have happiness and the causes of happiness. May all be free from sorrow and the causes of sorrow. May all never be separated from the sacred happiness which is without sorrow. And may all live in equanimity without too much attachment or too much aversion, believing in the equality of all that lives. Thank you for your time.
Thank you for listening to the Gay Buddhist Forum. If you would like to hear several new talks per month and be notified of upcoming speakers so you can participate live, please subscribe to this podcast, like us on Facebook, and join our mailing list by visiting gaybuddhist.org.